The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shmini. Vayhi bayom haShmini korah Moshe l'Aaron ulevonav lezikne Yisrael. It was on the eighth day, and Moshe called to Aaron and his sons and to the elders of Israel. What was the eighth day, and what was the celebration? Shmini lemeluim hi. Rashi brings it was the eighth day of the inauguration. In the last sedras, we were learning of the completion of the Binyan HaMishkan, the building of the sanctuary. It was finished on Chofei Kislev, the 25th of Kislev. But it was not erected on the 25th of Kislev. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to save it until a later date, until the Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So this now is going over to Nisan of the almost 1 year after the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Exodus was on the 15th of Nisan. This was the Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the following year. And for 7 days, Moshe used to put up the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and take it down. On the eighth day, it was put up, and it remained up, and that was the official opening of the Mishkan. So that was the eighth day. Shmini lameluim hu, reish chedish nisan shehu kama Mishkan beibiyayim. On that day, the Mishkan was put up. Therefore, there was great celebration. And there were special sacrifices during the entire 8 days. There were special sacrifices, but especially on this day. And that's what this parsha starts to tell us about. In Pasuk Ches, it states, Pasuk Zayin, it states, Vayome Moshe el Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron, Kerav el HaMizbeach, go forward. Go forward and approach the Mizbeach, the altar. And do bring the sin offering and the burnt offering, your sin offering and your burnt offering, and you shall bring a kapora, you shall bring an atonement for yourself and for the entire nation. And you shall bring the sacrifice of the nation and atone for them like Hashem has commanded. Rashi brings from the Teres Kahanim, what does it mean? Krav el Mizbeach, that Moshe said to Aaron, go close to the Mizbeach. Shehoya Aaron Bosh. Aaron was Bosh. Bosh means he was shy. He was ashamed. V'yorei logeshes, and he was afraid to go into the sanctuary and to fulfill all of these sacrifices on this very, very special day. Omale Moshe, loma to Bosh. And Moshe said to him, why are you so shy? Lakach nivchata. This is why you were chosen as the Kohen Godel, as the high priest. The Torah's Kahanim, which Rashi quotes for from, elaborates a little more. Torah's Kahanim, the Safro, on this Poshuk, Os, it's Zayin, Os Ches. Moshe l'mala davadayma, l'melech bosev adom shenoso isho. This can be compared to a great king that married a woman. Hoysom is by Yeshus melafonov. When it came, the day of the wedding day, she was very shy to go to the chuppah because of the great Yiras HaKovid, of the great honor of the king. Generally, people don't come too close to a king. And here this young woman all of a sudden found herself married to the king, so therefore she was misbayeshes. The nichnasa achesa etzlo, so her sister went, had to go and say, Omralo, said to her, Amanich nasta ladovazer, the whole reason why you married the king, Elashitishamshi Esamelech, that you should go and be close and serve the king. Hagise daitach, Uvei Vishamshi Esamelech. Therefore, take a hold of yourself, conquer your bashfulness, your shyness, and go to the king. Kachomar Meshe La'aron. So did Meshe say to Aaron, Aaron, Ochi, Aaron, my brother, why are you standing far away? Why are you so shy to go into the sanctuary on this day? Alma nifachato lies kein godel, kein godel. For what purpose were you chosen to be the kein godel, the high priest? Elo shetishoreis lifnei akorish borchu. The whole reason was is that you should go in front of everyone and you should be the one who will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu where no one else serves him. Hages daitecho, therefore take a hold of yourself, conquer your bashfulness, ubo ve'aved avedesecho, and go and fulfill your service, your avodah to Hashem. Yesh omrim, others say, haya aran reyas ha-mizbeach kitab nishor. Others say the reason why Aaron was afraid and he was shy to go into the Mishkan, into the sanctuary, because when he looked at the Mizbeach, at the altar, to him it looked like a shore. It looked like a shore is a bull. And it represented to him the golden calf. Aaron was involved in the golden calf, not because he wanted to, he was forced by the nation, but nevertheless he was involved. And when he saw this, Oya Mishori, he was afraid. He was afraid and he was ashamed of his averus. Omale Meisha. So Meisha said to him, Ochi, Mimeno Ato Mishori. He says, are you afraid of that? Hages Daitecho, conquer your fear and your shame, your bashfulness, Ukravi Lov, and go. Therefore he told them, that's what it means, karav ela mizbeach, go close to the altar. The Malbim explains here that actually the Safra is telling us two different reasons why Aaron was withdrawn. He was reserved. Either because of the great Yiras HaKovid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he felt that how could he go serve the king? That was the example of this young girl that was married to a great king, and it came the day of the chuppah. She was afraid to go into the chuppah. How could she serve a great king? Second reason is that he was ashamed of his averus. How could I go serve the king in the Mishkan in the time of the erection of the sanctuary? This was the greatest moment by Klal Yisrael. If my hands are full of avedus, of the golden calf. And Meisha told him, you bring the korbonis and you'll shecht the bull, and it'll be a kapor. So this is the medrash which Rashi brings bikitzor, very concisely. And here we see that there is a quality which is known as the quality of busha. When a person is somewhat ashamed, there are various phases of this busha and various English terms for it. For example, shamed, shy, bashfulness, or one is embarrassed. The contrary quality to busha is what we call, the Chazal call, Azus. Azus, or the Gemara calls Chutzpah. That's the contrary quality. And that is someone who lacks these qualities we just mentioned. For example, someone, a person who lacks shame and shyness. For example, he's brazen, he's arrogant, he's forceful, he's courageous, he's aggressive, or he's very imposing or dominant. This is the interpretation of the quality of Azus. Now, the makeup of the quality of Busha is that to be nispa'el from others, to react from others. The quality of Azush is the opposite, where someone does not react from others. Therefore, the quality of Busha is known as a rakushateva, someone who is very soft, or there's a quality of softness in a person, and therefore he's very soft, he's very pliable. While Azush is known as a kashushateva, someone who is hard, and therefore he reacts not from others. He's not nispoil, right? Doesn't react from others. Others do not affect him. Well, the one who is the Baal Boshes, he is affected by others or by situations. This is why the Azus, the word Az itself, means hard and strong. And we find in the Torah that a synonym for Azus is Ksheir Oref. When Hashem wanted to rebuke Klal Yisrael because they were very Az, they were the opposite of Busha, they were brazen or they were stubborn, they were called Ksheir Oref. Ksheir Oref means hardening of the neck. Now Oref means the back of the neck, okay? Because the front of the neck is very soft, but the back of the neck is very hard. Another reason why it's called Ksheir Oref is because when a person doesn't want to listen, he doesn't want to be affected, it's as if he turns his head around and he pays no attention, he pays no heed. The Baal Azus is not affected. See, it's as if he turns his head around and he's not conscious to what's around him. That's why this midah is called Ksheir Oref. Also, Azus in the Torah is referred to as Azus Meitzach. Meitzach is the forehead, because the forehead is very hard. Also, for example, on an animal, when an animal runs away, so then he runs. But when he's ready to fight, he puts down his forehead and he leads with his forehead. That's why that's called the Simon of Azush. Also, Meitzach Nechushta, someone who is very Az, who's very determined and strong-willed and brazen. So the Torah describes him as a forehead of copper. Nechoshes is copper or brass or a mixture of the two. Because Nechoshes is Az Mikol Hamatchis. Copper is the strongest of all metals when it comes to not reacting to the influences of other elements. So this gives us an idea, a little, of what is Busha. That's the softness of the person. And because of this, he or she reacts. Or Azus, the hardness of the person. And because of that, he or she does not react whatsoever. It's also a common terminology we find in the Nach for someone who is very brazen, kemeitzach zona, that he has the forehead of a zona, like a harlot, because that's totally the antithesis of boshas. Now, it's important to understand these qualities, because boshas, in the proper place where one should be a bal boshas, there is no greater quality. And azus, in the place where one should not be a bal azus, there is no worse quality that one can have. Like the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Avos, Perekei Mishnechof, as ponim legehenem, who bases ponim legan Eden. The as ponim, the one who has the quality of azus, of brazenness, where he shouldn't have it, his end will be in Gehenna. While boshes ponim, the one who has the quality of busha, where he should have it, his end will be in Gan Eden. This is what the Mishnah tells us. So therefore, let's give some thought to these qualities this evening. Mishlei Mamelech and Mishlei, Perek Chof Aleph, Posuk Chof Tes, writes, He is Ish Rosho Befonov. The Ish Rosho, the Rosho, the wicked person, he is Meis Befonov. He's brazen in his face. The Yoshor, while the upright, Hu Yochin Darkei, he sets forth his path in a straight way. Again, He is Ish Rosho Befonov. The Rosho shows brazenness in his face. Targum says, Machtzif Apoi Gavra Rishio. The Rosho shows chutzpah in his face. Yoshor, while the upright, Hu Yochin Darkei, Sritzo Hu Mesakin Orchei, he sets, the upright sets forth his path straight. Now there's a number of questions on this pasuk. Firstly, why is the asponim called the rosho? He's brazen. Why is it called the rosho? Rosho is the label and identification of a wicked person. Secondly, why is the azus linked to a person's face? States the Rosho shows brazenness in his face. Why? Dafke in his face. And the truth is, we find the same thing by Busha. States, like we quoted many times, it states Asponim or Beishesponim. We find that it's Mishacheses. They are linked, these qualities are linked to a person's face. Thirdly, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us one type of person and then the converse. So he starts off with the Balazus and then he ends up with the Yoshor. Yoshor is the upright. Why is that the converse? He should have said the Balboshes. Why does he call him Yoshor, the upright? He says the Roshor will have chutzpah in his face, while the upright will be Yochin Darkei, will set forth his paths in a right way. And what does it mean also that Yochin Darkei, he will set forth his path in a proper way, in an upright way? So asking four questions. Firstly, why is he called the Rosho, the Asponim? Secondly, Azus and Busha are always linked together with a person's face. Thirdly, the converse is the Yoshor. Why is the converse the Yoshor, the upright one? And what does it mean, Yochin Darkei? He will set forth his ways. Shlomo HaMelech, in his wisdom, is teaching us many sir. And this is according to the Baal, who has in his Nesiva Solam, Nesiva Busha. Firstly, we know through experience that Azus and Busha is manifested on a person's face. the Azush is the person who does not turn back for anyone, does not retreat because of anyone or any situation. And it's Nikar Bafonov. And this brazenness can be seen on his face. The one who is very brazen or arrogant, this comes forth on his face. And the same thing when it comes to the Balbusha, the one who shows shyness or bashfulness, also comes forth on his face. So immediately we can recognize it on his face. That's the one who goes back. The fact that both of these midas are very apparent on the person's face, this shows that these midas, these qualities, enshrine themselves and embed themselves very deeply in the person's nature and in the nefesh ha'odom, the very insides of the person. There are some qualities that can be superficial or external, but the fact that these manifest themselves always on the face of the person, it shows that they embed themselves very deeply in the person himself. Because we've learned before that when it comes to the Tzelem Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a man in his own Tzelem, in his own image, the main part of the Tzelem Elokim is the face of the person. For example, it states Chochmas Odom is Ha'ores Ponov, Teyar Ponov, that the wisdom of the first person comes forth through the light on his face. When a person is alive, his face shines and is radiant. Once he dies, immediately the radiance leaves, and that's the Tzelem Elokim, which is departing, and it's more apparent in the person's face than any other place. And also the identity of a person, how do we tell one person from another? Through his face. This is the identity of the person. So therefore, the face is the main area of the Tzelem Elokim, of the image, this that man was created in the image of Hashem. And therefore, qualities which are part and parcel of the person's face, this is a raya, this is a proof that these qualities are very, very much part and parcel of the person himself, and they're not superficial. Therefore, the Azus is a quality which is very close to the person. And Asponim, and it manifests itself through the face of the person. And the same thing with the Boshes, and therefore it's referred to as Boshes Ponim. Now, a person was created with both of these qualities. Firstly, he was created with this quality of Azush, because immediately at the creation of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, and he said, "Bekif Shuha, go and conquer the world." So he gave him the power and the spirit of forcefulness to be a conqueror, to go forth. Why was this? Because he created him as a melech, as a king. A king has to go forth. A king cannot withdraw, he cannot retreat. He said, "You shall rule, you shall be the meishel, you shall be the sholit. You will rule over the entire world, Melech Bechtachtenim, over the Eif HaShomayim, the Yirdu B'Degas Hayom. You'll rule over the birds of the heaven and the sea of the fish of the sea." And this is why also that man is called a Gever, Gavra. Gever comes from the word Gibor, because it is man's nature, lisgaber. He wants to be a gibor, he wants to overpower everything. So he was born, and he was created with the nature of Azush. From the other aspect, though, he was also given the nature of boshes, to withdraw, to retreat, because we see he was given gvulim, he was given boundaries. From one aspect, if he was told, go out and conquer the world, in other words, a conqueror has no boundaries. But from the other aspect, he was told, 1 minute, there are certain gevulim, there are certain limitations. For example, right at the beginning of the creation of the world, we see, Mikol priyates priyagan, you can eat from all of the trees, umeyates hadas tevara, but from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, of good and evil, you shall not eat from. So from the fact that man was given boundaries, limitations, he was given a second quality, that there's going to be, have to be times when he's going to have to withdraw. He's going to have to react by going back, limit himself, fear. And these are manifested in the seven mitzvahs which were given to the world, or the 365 negative commandments which were given to Israel. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chukim Chokakti, I have imbued and engraved statutes in the world, fences and walls in the world, that you shall not trespass, but you shall fear and back off from them. And this is the sheirish, this is the source of the quality of boshes. So therefore he was created with both of these qualities. Now the asponim, he was supposed to use both qualities appropriately. The asponim is the one who does not use his boshes properly. He does not step back. He goes even in places where it's not proper for him to go, and it's not befitting for him to go. Now, all of these gvulim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed all of these boundaries and parameters in the world in order that the person should be yoshur, he should be upright, and he should walk in the proper direction. These are all guidelines, road signs. So therefore, the one that goes with Azush, he is neiter min aderech ha-yosho. He crosses and trespasses boundaries that are not to be crossed and trespassed, and he goes in a way of kilkul. He goes in a way which is crooked. Well, the one who walks within the bounds of Hashem, that's yoshur. He goes straight. As it states, Pekudei Hashem Yishorim B'sam Kelev. The mitzvahs of Hashem are upright. They are guidelines for us which way to walk and which way not to walk. And Yaakov and Israel were called Yeshurim. They were called upright. Therefore, the Asponim, that's the one that has this quality which is part of his nefesh, and he does not want to limit himself where he should limit himself. He does not want to withdraw where he should withdraw. He does not want to fear where he should fear. But he becomes a wild conqueror that wants to go wherever he wants to go. This is the asponim. He's a rosho, because the Maral says the whole essence of a rosho is misha neita miderech hayosho, someone who strays from the upright path. And this is the azush in the full sense of the word, because he does not want to fear where he should fear. He does not want to withdraw where he should withdraw. He does not want to be limited. He likes trespass. Therefore, Shlomo HaMelech calls him a Rosho. And he said that he is Ish Rosho Befonav. The Rosho will have Azus, which will come forth from his face. The converse, who's the Balboshes, that's the person that knows there are limitations, and he knows there's places he has to fear. There are places he has to go back from, withdraw. Shlomo HaMelech called him the Yosho. He's the upright, because he walks a straight path. And therefore it states for Yosho hu Yochin Drochav Darkov, that the Yosho will set forth his path straight. So this answers our questions we asked. Why are these qualities linked to a person's face? Because they're very embedded and deeply enshrined in the person himself. And secondly, why is he called the Rosho, the Asponim? Because the Rosho is the one who goes away from the Derech HaYosho, from the upright path. And this is the Midah of Azus. And the converse is called the Yosho. And therefore it states, Yochin Darkai, he will set his path straight. Now the main quality, the main time that one should be misbayish, one should be bosh, is from someone who is greater than him. Because this shows in a person that I have to step back, I'm entering a realm, I'm entering a domain of someone who is greater than me. And that's why the Gemara brings a Masechta Nedarim and Daf Chof. The Gemara is going on a posuk in Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro, Perek Chof, posuk Yud Zayin. Moshkov Perik Posuk Yud Zayin, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael became very afraid when they saw the Keles Ubrokim and the Eish and the Onon. They saw all of the, they heard the great thunder and the great lightning on the mountain and all of the smoke and the fire, and they heard Hashem. They became very afraid, and they went back, and they said, "You speak to Hashem, and you'll tell us what He said. We're afraid if we'll speak to Hashem Himself. We're afraid we'll die." So Mesha said to the nation, "Al tiro'u, do not be afraid. Because Hashem has come to speak to you Himself in order to make you great. And in order that His fear shall be on your faces, that you shall not sin." In order that His fear shall be on your faces, in order that you shall not sin. So the Gemara brings in Nedarim, Tanya, Bavur tia yose al panechem zu busha. His fear shall be on your faces. This refers to the quality of busha. This, that a person is afraid, he is shy, he is bashful. Levilti sechetou, in order that you shall not sin, melamed shahabusha mevia lidei yiras chet. From here we learn that a person who has this quality, this is a safeguard from hate. This brings him to fear of sin. Mikan omru simin yofe ba'odem shu baishon. Therefore we said, they say, that if a person by nature is a baishon, he is a bashful person, a shy person, this is a very, very simin yofe, a very, very wonderful trait. This will keep him far from hate. Acherim Aimrim. Others said, Kolodama Misbayash, Lebim Heru Uchaita. Whoever is Misbayash, he will not sin quickly. Umisha Ein Lebayashis Ponim. And then the Gemara goes further. Someone who does not have Bayashis Ponim. Then it is known that his forefathers did not stand on Har Sinai. So now the Gemara is learning from this pasuk three principles. Firstly, it's learning that this quality will bring one to Yiras Chet, to the fear of Chet. Secondly, that someone who has this quality, Leibim Heiro Hu Chet, he will not sin quickly. And thirdly, someone who does not have this quality, Biyadua Shaleom Da Avesov, then it is known that his fathers did not stand on Har Sinai. Now this is what we've been speaking about. Because someone who has this quality, this is the quality of going back, of retreating. And this is Yeras Chet. He understands that man was not given a wild domain over everything. There are things which are his domain, and there are things which are not his domain, which are taboo. This you may eat from, umi eats hadas tevara, but from this tree you may not eat from. He's not a wild conqueror with no limitations whatsoever. So therefore, call me sheishle boshes. Haboshes is mevia lidei yirasachet. It'll bring him to fear sin. Then we go further. Whoever has this boshes, lebim heiru hucheta. Therefore, whoever has this quality, it's a simen yofet, it's very good. And he will not be cheta quickly. It will safeguard him from sin. And then thirdly, the Gemara says, someone who does not have this quality, then we can suspect that his forefathers might not have stood on Har Sinai. Because this is the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he came to speak to us himself. When someone sees the king, immediately he's afraid. Immediately he has tremendous respect. Immediately he sees how small he is compared to the king. When someone sees the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, the king of all kings, so then certainly he's going to feel this way. And now this opinion that the Gemara is coming to tell us that we shouldn't think this was an experience that happened once in history. Lishor, it was the Deiris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to speak to our fathers in order, Vavutia Yirose Alpenechem, in order that my fear shall be engraved and enshrined on your face forever. This was not Lishaw, this was the Deiris, forever. So therefore, every Jew whose father stood at Sinai, they have engraved in their neshama, in their soul, the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the boshes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the Gemara says that when you meet someone and he's asked upon him, he's afraid of nothing. He has no parameters, no limitations. Enormous chutzpah. It's biyodua. It is known then. What he's actually telling us is that his fathers never stood on Sinai. In this vein, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Yevamos, and Afayim Tes Omer Aleph, Perek Orl, Gimel Simonim Be'umazu, that in the nation of Israel, They have three Shimonim, three signs. Rachmonim, Bashonim, Ugem Lechasodim. They are merciful people. They are Bashonim. They have this natural shyness. And Ugem Lechasodim, they do good to others. Kol mi shishle gimel susimonim alolu, whoever has these three qualities, roi li dovek bumezu, they are therefore very, very good candidates to come and be part of our nation. Kol mi she'ein lo gimel susimonim alolu, but whoever lacks these three qualities, then ein roi li dovek bumezu, they are not candidates to be part of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara brings this with Amaisa, with Dovid and others, that there was a certain nation that wanted to become part of Israel, and they were merachik them. They didn't accept them because they lacked these three qualities. In Shulchan Aruch is brought that when a person goes to look for a prospective spouse, a shidduch, what should he look for? It brings he should look for these three qualities. That the prospective spouse should be Rachmonim, Bashonim, Ugem Lechasodim. Compassionate, they should have the quality of Busha and the quality of Chesed, of goodness to others. Sometimes people will tell you otherwise. They'll tell you, you go for a Shidduch, you must see what kind of job he or she has, or what kind of professional credentials he or she has, or how much money they have, and so forth and so on. See? Now the Chazal say differently. That's not what to look for. This is what to look, is what to look for. Then the Gemara says also in this vein further, the Gemara says in Masechta Berachos that you base on the base. Omar Chanino, Sabo, Mashmei Rav. Kol Eised Varaver, Umizbaish, Bo, Mechlin Le Al Kol Aveneisov. Whoever does an Avera, but he's Mizbaish, Bo, but he's ashamed afterwards, the Mechlin Le Al Kol Aveneisov. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives him for all of his sins. Why? Because if a person does an Aveira and he's misbayashes, this is a sign that he has fear from Hashem. He's misbiased because he realizes that he shouldn't have done it. He realized that this was off limits. He went where he shouldn't have gone. He trespassed and he shouldn't have done it. So he has yira from Hashem. He has fear. And this creates a busha, a shame. Then this shows that really this Aveira is not part of him, but it's external, it's superficial. Because by his nature, he realizes that he trespassed. He went in a place where he was not supposed to go, where he had no right to go. And therefore, this is not part of him, but it's external. And the whole Yesod HaTshuva, the whole principle to Tshuva, why does Tshuva help? When we speak of Tshuva, we speak of kapora. Kapora, atonement. Actually, the word kapora, kippur, comes from the word to cleanse. And the principle of tshuva is that one is cleansed from anything which is not clean, which is upon him. Like you take a garment and you clean it. When can you clean a garment? That's only if the lichluch, the dirt, does not become an integral part of the garment. If it's external, it's superficial, then you can clean it. If it becomes an integral part of the garment, let's say that you have a garment and it has, let's say, a red or a yellow stain in it. All right, you clean it. Let's say the red and the yellow is part of the color of the garment itself. You could clean and wash all you want, but you're not going to get it out. The principle of tshuva is when the hate by Israel is merely superficial, merely external, then he can free himself from that hate. And that's why tshuva comes with kapora. Kapora means, is actually the Hebrew word kapora, doesn't mean to atone, but it means he is cleansed. Therefore, if one commits a hate, but he's mavuyish, he's ashamed, that's a sign that it's not really him. But it's external. It's the Yetzer Hara. So on that, it's kapora. On that he can cleanse himself. But let's say someone commits a hate and he's aimed by azusay, he doesn't have any remorse whatsoever over it. He's not ashamed of it whatsoever. This shows that he has no yira from Hashem. He has no shame. He feels that whatever he did and wherever he went, that all belongs to him. Oh, now it's a sign that the hate is part of he himself. It's part of he himself. Then there's no kapora. How can a person cleanse himself from he himself? Therefore, Omar Rav Chanina Sabo Mishmei D'Rav, the Rav Chanina Sabo said in the name of Rav, Kol Ha'Eser D'Var Aveiro Mizbayish, when someone does an Aveiro but he's ashamed of it, Mechlin Le'al Kol Avanisur, then he is forgiven from all of his sins. This is also the interpretation in the Divrei Chazal, where the Gemara brings in Masechta Kala, Perek Beis. Blaze Eimer, Asponim, when you see someone who is full of azus, brazenness, the Blaze says, Mamzer. It's a sign he's a Mamzer. He was born from an adulterous union, an adulterous or an incestual union. Pam Echod, Vayazakenim Yeshvim Bishar. There was a time when the elders, the Talmidei Chachomim, were sitting by the gates. They used to sit by the gates of the city. This was their place. Ovru lifneihem, Shteitin Aikis, and two children passed by. Echod Kisareishai, one covered his head, Echod Gilareishai, one uncovered his head. The custom that we have of wearing yarmulkes was not a custom all the time in Israel. It was brought that when someone was mispalel, he covered his head. When someone was sitting before his Rebbe, he would cover his head. But otherwise, not always did they cover their heads. So here, two young boys passed by, and when one saw the Chachomim, immediately he covered his head. When the other one saw the Chachomim, evidently, she says Gila Reisha. It's Mashma, not only he didn't cover his head, it seems that he uncovered his head. So, Reb Lezer says that one is a mamzer. He was born from an adulterous or incestuous union. Later on, the Gemara brings a Maisa with Rabbi Kiva. Kiva went to his mother and he investigated and so forth and so on, and kachoyo. This was the truth. Now why? Because, the Maral explains, in the vein that we're speaking, the Azus is the one who is the conqueror without limits. He recognizes no limitations. He never recognizes that this is off limits. This is forbidden territory. The dinim of arayis, the laws of forbidden marriages, these are known as chukim, as limits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established in the world. He said, this is permissible and this is forbidden. These are from the strongest chukim, from the strongest statutes and limitations that he established in the world. And therefore, someone who does not recognize these, this is the Baal Azus, gives this quality into the offspring. Therefore, a mamzer, actually the word mamzer comes from the word mumzor. Mumzor means an alien imperfection. When you see someone that has this azus, so there can be suspicion that this is the union he has come from. Now, this nature that's in a person is a nature which must be protected and must be supported. For example, in our times today, we're going to speak in a few minutes that there's times that one shouldn't be a balbatious. He has to show azus. But before we come to that, in our times today, already for a great number of years, the thrust of so-called modern society was to demolish all limitations. That I have the right to go wherever I want to go. And I have the right to do whatever I want to do. Freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. Yesterday, I was driving home and they were interviewing a young lady on the radio. She was very good. They were campaigning yesterday, protesting. These were the right to life, anti-abortion. And they had a campaign yesterday on this in Cape Town. And they were interviewing her. And they were putting forth, the announcer was putting forth the case for those who are the pro-abortionists. What's the pro-abortionists? It's our rights. We have a right over ourselves. We have a right over our body. In other words, unlimited rights. So she answered, yeah, you have rights, but you don't have rights to kill others. But it's our body. So she answered, you certainly have a right over your body. But that's before conception, not after conception. And so forth. But you see that the whole thrust has been just the opposite. The St. Louis Rover of Eichenstein, Zech Tzadik Vroch, used to say that we ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shchedish Benshin that he should give us a life shein by busha oklimo, that not a life of shame. He says in our times we have to ask that we should have a little busha. People today have totally eliminated that. They have cut that out and eliminated it from the quality of a person. Like that a person should grow up like a wild horse. I mean, even a horse you give parameters to. But like a wild horse, let him express himself and let him do whatever he wants to do. And we see the world that we're living in. So this is a natural quality that was imbued in us, and it must be protected. I recall, this is a story that I heard from An the Belyameya that tells the Rosh Hashiva, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I didn't hear it from him, but I heard it from a very close Talmud of his, by the name of Ramesh Ackerman. But he told me once, the Belyameya had told him this, that after the Belyameya was married, so he went to live in his father-in-law's city. I forgot the name of the city. It eluded me for the time being, but it was a city on the German border, between Lithuania and the German border. And therefore it was very strongly under the influence of German Jewry. And it was not the Torah Jewry that Lithuania was. And he wrote to his father, the Tel Rosh Hashiva. He says, look, they do certain things here. He says, the one thing they were doing is that in Lithuania it was customary that a person, it's a halacha, when he would daven Shemayin Esrei, he would put the talis over his head. He says, there, none of them put the talis over their heads. So his father told him, look, you should do it. So he wrote back and he said that, he says that, I'm embarrassed to do it. So his, now this is not, we're not talking here a halacha, this is not a halacha that one has to make a tremendous stand on. So his father wrote him back, he says, if you could do it without embarrassment, fine. But if it's going to demand from you a great deal of embarrassment, then don't do it. Because what you will do is you will be uprooting the quality of busha from yourself. And that's very dangerous. This is what he wrote back to him. This was the Rabbi Yosef Leib, the old Elzerov. In other words, from one aspect, it's very good to do it. But if it's going to mean to uproot the quality of busha from you, he says, then you must be very careful. A person, because that's the safeguard of a person. That's the simen yofer. And therefore you must be very careful with it. Another case. I was once at a chasana and people are dancing and I saw a father, very frumer Jew, and he's taking his little child into the middle of the circle. And his child was a good dancer. And he was prodding him on to dance in the middle of the circle by himself in front of all the people. And the child didn't want to do it. The child was very, very ashamed, embarrassed. And the father kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him until he did it. And the first thing that came across to me is the father thought that he was being mechanechim in mitzvahs. He's showing him how to dance at a chasana. And the first thing that came across to me, he's being mechanechim in azus. He's teaching him azus, to be an azponim. A little child. And he realizes that it's embarrassing for him to dance alone in a circle of all kind of people. This is his natural response. His father kept imposing on him until no longer would he experience that feeling. He's been mechanechim in azus. He's teaching him how to be an azponim. This is the azponim where he feels no embarrassment, he feels no shame. Therefore, one must be very, very careful to nurture this quality, to safeguard it and to nurture it. Now just one or two words though. That this that we say that a person has to be a balboshes, and we, this is in the proper way and in the proper circumstances and at the proper time. But sometimes we find that the Chazal, just like they criticize the Az Ponim, sometimes they praise the Az, the one who has the Bal Azus, and they criticize the Balboshes. For example, in the Mishnah we have a Mishnah Masechet Ovos where it states Lahabaishan Lemaid. If someone is too much of a Balbashis, he won't be able to learn Torah. Firstly, he'll never ask anything, but secondly, to learn Torah you have to be very courageous. You have to be very forceful. You cannot turn back. You have to come to the emes, to the truth. And you cannot be intimidated. If someone is intimidated by others to the point where he's afraid to act like he should, he's intimidated by Rishim, or he's intimidated to fulfill mitzvahs the way he should, this also is a great chisor. This is a great shortcoming. And the Chazal say this comes to Hanifa. Hanifa is false flattery, where you speak, you flatter Rishoim because you're intimidated by them. Or like it states in the Mishnah Novus, have you asked Kenomer Lases Ritzeni Shalavinu Shebishamayim? You shall be as courageous as a leopard, which was the most courageous of all of the animals, in order to fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same thing the Gemara brings in Masechta Beitzo. Gemara says, and the Masechta Beitzo and of Chafei Omed Beis, it states, Tana Mishmeid Rameya, Bimnei Man Nitna Torah Yisrael. Why was Torah given to Yisrael? Bimnei Shein Azim. Because they have a natural quality of Azus. Tana Rabbi Bishmol, Miyamino Eish Dos Lomai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that from my right hand I gave forth a law of fire. What's a law of fire? The Torah. The Torah was called a law of fire. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to them, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruin Halolo Shetinosin Lem Das Eish. This law of fire is very befitting for Yisrael, because their nature is also like fire. Iko de Amri Doseim Shalelu Eish. Others said that their ways are like fire, and therefore Ilmole Leinit Neteri Lisel Ein Uma Veloshin Yechen Lamed Bifnehem. That if the Torah was not given to Israel, then they would have been such conquerors that the whole world wouldn't be able to stand up against them. They would be so wild, such wild conquerors. Gimel Azinhein Yisrael Be'umais. Israel is the most Azus of all of the nations. Now, the Azus is the strongest of all the qualities. See, that's the quality that we said that makes a person unstoppable. He doesn't back up from anyone. He never retreats. He's like a leopard. It's the quality of the leopard that the leopard will never... They say hunters will tell you that if you hunt a leopard, if you wound him and you don't kill him, then you're lost, because you'll never be able to stop him. And this is the Azus Takifa, and this is the quality of Torah. Torah is unbending, okay. And this is exemplified by fire of all of the powers that Hashem created in the world. The most unstoppable is that of fire. It consumes everything in its path. You can't convince a fire to turn back. It knows no bounds. Fire knows no bounds. It's wild. And that's why Hashem said, Eish dos b'yamino, eish dos lomai. I have laws of fire, which I'll give to Yisrael because they also have a nature like fire. And this, incidentally, is why it states, as ponim legehenem. The as ponim has a great equation with gehenem, because Gehenna also is exemplified by fire. But it has to be used properly. When it comes to serving Hashem, and when it comes to learning Torah, when it comes to doing what's right, there the person has to be unstoppable. There he has to go forward. There he has to be like a fire. And ein abayshin leimet. If he's not like a fire, he can't come to Torah, because the Torah is a fire. He'll be afraid. He'll be afraid of Torah. That's why many times you get people and they say, no, I can't learn because I'll never understand. I'll never be able to understand it. It's too difficult. It's not for me, and so forth and so on. It's like a person doesn't want to walk into a fire. So there he has to be Azus. But on the other hand, man was given this power of Azus, and he was given the power of Yira also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, go and conquer the world, but there are places where you're not to go. There are things, go and eat from the world, but there are things you're not to eat. So therefore he needs both qualities. The Azus Ponim is the one who has destroyed the bush in himself. And it states then, As Ponim LeGehenem, that's the fires of Gehenem. The Beishes Ponim is the one who uses it properly. States, Beishes Ponim, the Gan Eden. See, that's Gan Eden. I want to conclude with one final Chazal, very interesting. This is a Gemara. This is a Gemara in Masechta Tainus Dav Zayin Amud Beis. It states she'ein shomim ne'atzorim ele bishvil azeponim shebedor. When the world suffers from drought, the heavens are held, hold back their water. This is because of the azeponim of the generation. So the Maral writes, he says, a siman on this, a sign on this, is because what do we call the azeponim? Those who have no busha, and they are only those they know no bounds. So we said, yeah, but what is the Torah refer to them many times as meitzach nechushta? They have a forehead of copper and brass. That was the sign of their hardness, that they never turn back, they never withdraw. We find in the Teichoches, in the rebukes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, heaven forbid, if you'll bring drought, it states, V'hoye shomecho asher al reshecho nechusha. The heavens will become like copper and brass. Copper and brass means they will not give out their waters. So we see this equation. Therefore, the Gemara tells us that Ein Hagshomim Netzorim Ela Bishvil Aziponim Shebedor, that the rains are held back because of the Aziponim in the generations. Now he says, actually, it's the same quality. He says the rains come from the softening of the heavens. The heavens melt and they bring rain. The azeponim are those who are kashim, see, the hardening of a nature of a person. So the hardening of the nature of man, where he shouldn't be hard, that hardens the heavens. And therefore the heavens will hold back their rain. It goes one step further. He says, man man was created like the world. The Chazal tell us that man is a world in himself. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the heavens over the world. When he created man, he says man's forehead is like the heavens. He created the sun and the moon and the stars that give light. Man's eyes are like the sun and the moon and the stars because this gives light to man. When the person is boshesh ponim, this is a softening of the forehead. Softening of the forehead. This creates a softening of the heavens and will bring rain. But when he's azepon, when he hardens his nature to the point where he is unbending and brazen, chutzpah, this is the hardening of the forehead, like we said. Meitzach is nechoshes. This creates the hardening of the heavens. And it states the heavens will be like brass. And therefore, ein hakshomim netzorin, that the rains are held back, mishum azeponim shebador, because of the azeponim, the brazen ones of the generation. This gives us some good insights into these qualities. And this is what David Shlomo HaMelech said, ki ha'ez ish rosha b'fonav. The rosha, he is brazen in his face. Yoshor, but the upright, that's the one who has the boshes, who yochin darkei, he will set his path straight. This is why it states that when it came time to go into the Mishkan, the sanctuary, for the great celebration, Aaron was Bosh. For two reasons, Teres Kanim says. First, he was Bosh because he felt, who am I to represent Klal Yisrael? The Chatzar HaMelech, the Paltin Shel Melech, in the palace of the king. That was the parable, like a woman who is married to a great king. Who am I? Because before someone who is greater than you, one should draw back, withdraw, and how much more so before the Melech Malchei Amalochi. Secondly, that he was ashamed also when he came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of his Averis. He saw the Mizbeach, the altar, the Tavni Shor, in the form of a shor of a bull, which reminded him of the golden calf. Therefore, Moshe had to tell him, Moshe had to say, Krav. He says, go forth. Say, go forth by Krav, v'im Moshe l'arein Krav el ha-mizbeach. Go to the altar, go close. Do not be bosh. Because this is why you were chosen, v'ase es chatoscho v'ase losecho v'chape ba'atcho v'ada'om. Go and bring your sacrifices in order that you could bring atonement to yourself and the entire nation.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.